And good afternoon, listeners. You are tuned in to the Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, the announcer today, and I'll turn it over to Steve Whitaker, the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Mr. Terry Tackett. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Yourself?
I'm doing great. Again, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker of Community Christian Fellowship. We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. Our phone number is 740-494-2222. And our website is prospectccf.com. Give us a call anytime. Love to hear from you. Our service times are at Sunday at 9:30 a.m. is Bible school hour, and we have our worship time at 10:30. And, of course, we have midweek service and Sunday evenings also, along with youth group and many children's programs. So feel free to give us a call and find out more about us. Anyway, good to see you today, Terry.
You too.
I want to talk about something a little different today, something a little kind of lighthearted in a way. And I was thinking, you know, this particular this particular station talks a lot to old celebrities. And older celebrities, sometimes people that have retired. And it's so great to hear from those people because it brings back so many memories and times when we were kids. And I know this is a show about current events, and we talk about that kind of from a biblical perspective, but I'm thinking about some of the old shows, and I'm going to do a little bit of comparison with you today, and I want to look at it kind of what's going on with kids today in their entertainment, in their technology, versus some from maybe years ago. You know, I remember being limited in how much television I was allowed to watch. Just because I'm not sure whether Mom thought too much TV was bad. I know they used to tell us if you sit too close to that thing, you'll go blind. You remember that? But I don't know whether Mom thought that too much was too much, or she just wanted to get us out of the house. But I was sitting in my office today, and I was talking to a fellow on the phone. And we were talking about getting out and doing things and as kids and what we did. And I was sitting there, and I'm looking out the window, and it's like probably 9:30 in the morning, and I was yet to see one young person out there. It's just a few days before their school's going to start, and here they're still laying in bed or doing whatever, but there's no kids outside. And then I looked over at a house that had a garage behind it. It was a two-car garage, and there was no paint on the garage and no paint on the gable ends either, and or any of it. And I said to this fellow, I said, you know, I said, I know there's kids that live there. And I said, when we were growing up, either we would have been out there scraping and painting that as something we were supposed to do, or if we weren't, there'd be another kid in the neighborhood knocking at the door wanting to do it for money. And we just don't see that stuff anymore. But in talking about some of the old shows I grew up with, Lucy's Toy Shop, remember that? Captain Kangaroo. What were some of the other old ones?
I grew up with one. It was the the Hair Bear Bunch or something. Yeah. I think it was called.
We watched Flippo every evening before school. Great, great. Loved Flippo. Yep. Matter of fact, remember that little red Isetta he drove? I worked with a guy years ago back in the 80s that had bought Flippo's Isetta. Mm. And he just cherished that little red Isetta. Remember, they were three-wheeled. They had two in the back.
Uh-huh.
And then they had, one in the back, two in the front. And the whole front opened up. And the steering wheel folded out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was a BMW.
Really?
Yeah, interesting. But, you know, those old show hosts, and I remember, they always had good moral lessons with them and kind things to say.
Mr. Rogers.
Yeah. I can still remember, wake up, Mr. Tree, it's daytime, can't you see? You know, Captain Kangaroo and Mr. Green Jeans. But, you know, that stuff, that was wholesome stuff.
Yeah.
I really believe it was. And I see a lot of the stuff on TV today, and these kids on cartoons, on the animated stuff, call each other things that we would get our mouths washed out with soap against kids.
Yeah.
But you know, I wonder, I wonder if we shouldn't try to sometimes sneak back into that era a little bit. And I want to tell you, parents, that for those of you that don't know it, your children do not have to watch the latest and the greatest and the newest. All of those old shows, I know most of you get cable out there, but they're available on cable. And if the funny thing is, if you don't get cable and you just get, what is it called? What
Netflix
is,
or?
No. I mean, you don't want, you just have an antenna.
Oh.
So you
your
just
basic,
get,
yeah.
Yeah, the regular HD channels.
Yeah.
Stuff, those
mm-hmm,
are.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know my kids have that. They don't have, they don't even have cable available where they're at unless they use a satellite. But they get standard channels, and they have all the old shows like Roy Rogers and Dale Evans, and all those kind of shows are on every day. Hmm. And it's funny because I have a grandson who's now 4, and he talks about these old shows. Those are his daily shows.
Ah.
And, you know, Andy Griffith, maybe RFD,
good.
Gomer Pyle, I mean...
Great show, yeah.
You know, they really were.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wonder if we shouldn't just be saving a little money and going back to some of
those
things.
Absolutely. Well-written and, you know. And
well-written, and people say, well, my kids won't watch those things. I have three things to say about that. You wanna bet. Because I'll tell you, my grandkids, that's all they have to watch when they're at home, so they watch it.
Sure.
And, you know, it's fun entertainment, too.
Yeah.
But if they say, oh, it's in black and white. You know, my family was one of the last families, I think, on the universe to get color television. Matter of fact, we'd always had black and white. And when Shirley and I got married in the very, very end of the 70s, we had one of those little tiny 12-inch black and whites. And we might have graduated to a bigger one, but I'll be honest. I don't think it was probably the 80s before we even got a color television.
Wow.
And the thing I remember most about watching black and white, and I'm sure you remember watching black and white,
sure,
was that you didn't really pay attention to the fact it was black and white. You were paying attention to what was going on and the people, and it really wasn't like that. Oh, you weren't watching the show saying, oh man, this is black and white.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't do that.
Care,
you
just,
it didn't matter. Another interesting thing is, now that I'm older, of course, it's different. But when I was younger, we never had a big TV either. Our biggest TV we ever had was probably a 20-inch, 19-inch. Most TVs were 19s. And you adjusted to it, and you paid attention to it, and you might as well have been. Now, you know, if a TV isn't 50 inches, nobody wants it. Well, I got to be honest, if a TV isn't 50 inches, I can't see it anymore. But, no, I just think it's kind of interesting. We talk about a lot of the old actresses and actors and shows and things that were on. And if you really think about it, there was usually some form of a moral lesson in them. We used to watch My Three Sons and Leave It to Beaver and those shows. And, you know, good old Eddie Haskell would come along and get Beaver in trouble, and Wally not see it coming, and next thing you know, there was a story behind all of it, and you know, and there was a lot of personal responsibility. Well, you know, Eddie Haskell might have got you into this, but you didn't have to follow him, type of thing. And I wonder today how much modern programming has hurt our young people. Now, I will say, in one way, I know it's helped them. Is a lot of the educational things that have been on for the last 20, 25 years have kids reading a lot earlier, knowing their colors, knowing their ABCs. I mean, my 4-year-old grandson right now, he knows as much as I did going into the first grade, just from watching stuff. And in that aspect, I think it's pretty good. But when... But some of the other cartoons and stuff, I mean, man, they call each other names. They make fun of their parents, you know. And you ever notice that dad's always a buffoon in all the modern sitcoms? And I don't know, I'm not saying what the agenda is behind that, but he always is. And for a time when we need to strengthen the American family, I think that that stuff doesn't help matters at all, you know, really. But think about this. Think of some ways, Terry. that maybe modern programming and the amount of it, the saturation of it, has affected our young people. You know, who do they spend more of their time with? With their parents, with people to guide them, or with something in front of them that they're absorbing?
Electronic devices.
I mean, I'll be honest, even in the classrooms in school today, in many cases and in many subjects, most of the time, videos and electronics are even teaching our
kids. That's what I've often wondered is now with the new age of students now in the classroom is, are the teachers using this as a helper, these devices, or are they kind of solely dependent? You know what I mean? You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's kind of a weird dynamic there, I think.
Let me tell you, in knowing a lot of teachers and substituting and that type of a thing, I don't envy their jobs today. You know, I've heard parents say, what do they even do anymore? They do everything on the video screen. Well, certainly the dynamics of what goes on in a classroom has changed in the last 10, 20, 30, 40, and it's still changing somewhat rapidly. But I say, one, it depends on the subject, how much has changed. And two, it depends on the teacher and the families that they're serving. I think that in a lot of cases, the students have a higher demand on the teachers than they used to. And the good thing about the teaching that the kids can pay attention to on a screen or whatever that's teaching a lesson or whatever it's going through, my experience is the teachers follow that up with, okay, kids, now you watch this, and this means this and that, and she'll go around from desk to desk and work with kids. But I think the teachers, although they are not actively standing in front of the class teaching for a 35, 40-minute period, whatever it is, they're still very busy with individual kids and moving around the room and making sure that they understand what they're doing. And now I know that in our kids' school, they have what's a Chromebook, and almost all their lessons are on their Chromebooks. And they go to their Chromebooks to do their work, but the teacher still has to come around and see how they're doing and what's going on. So a lot of it's self-teaching. I think that the teachers have lost, and this is by no means a disparaging them whatsoever, but I think they've lost the closeness and hominess of the old classroom. You know what I mean? Where you knew your teacher knew you, you had a good relationship with mom and dad most of the time, mm-hmm. And it was just an all-round good experience. The day of the bringing the apple in on the teacher's desk is probably not here anymore. And I think in a lot of ways we're probably missing something with that. A lot of experiences in school are not maybe as positive. A lot are probably more so. But I think in society, Terry, we're getting so many more problems today with our young people, with educational issues. Matter of fact, I was just in a training last week, and excuse me for not remembering the initials and name to this new program, but there's a new program out there by the state that the state is implementing. Matter of fact, I think it's federal, where if you are classified as homeless, the school has to educate you. Now, let me go into some particulars that I learned about that this in the meeting, is that, first of all, being classified homeless is not necessarily what comes to mind when you and I say it. Homeless would mean, obviously, someone's living on a street, right?
Sure.
But what it technically means is someone that is not living in permanent, stable housing. So, in other words, if you and your parents or your mom or whoever or siblings are living with an aunt, an uncle, grandparents, whatever that case is, that technically is considered being homeless, okay? So what I'm getting at and the reason behind all this is a program that allows a student to stay in their home school of choice In other words, say you're a child that's always gone to Marion City schools, and all of a sudden mom and dad, for whatever reason, lose their house, and you've got to go to Prospect and move in with grandma and grandpa. Well, rather than moving you from that school, it's now up to Marion to provide transportation if you're within 25 miles and get you to your home school of choice. And a lot of the reasoning behind this is they found that kids that are constantly transient and moving schools don't do as well as kids that can stay in their home school of choice. So there's some good behind it.
Yeah.
I can see where it can be a real financial burden.
Sure.
But I think what I was getting at, the reason I brought it up was, this is something we never would have thought about 25, 30, 40 years ago.
Absolutely.
Because we did not have, the families weren't constantly transient. And now we have families that the kids are moving 2, 3, 4 times a year, you know, whether it's because of a single, you know, parents that can't make things work, or whether it's from, I'll just be blunt and honest with you, the drug problems caused a lot of it.
Sure.
Because a lot of parents are being pulled out of the home.
I was going to say, or they take the kids out of the home.
Or they take the kids out of the home.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, with the increasing drug issue that we have, especially with opioids, you're seeing a lot of kids come out. I know of a situation a couple years ago where a couple counties away, they took something like 75 kids out of homes overnight from a drug sting. What do you do with those 75 kids?
Yeah.
So what they're wanting to do is keep them in their school of choice. But it certainly is a certain, there is a certain amount of difference in the way we have to go about teaching kids today, reaching kids.
Now, is that program implemented yet, or is it?
It is just implemented.
Okay, it is.
It is implemented.
Okay, so it's available right now.
It's available right now.
Okay.
So your kids, you know, it's they'll go to their school, what is deemed their home school.
Okay.
So you may have a kid that moves 3, 4 times in the school year. You know,
does it matter the length of time that kid's been in a school to be, or I mean, you know, say
you know,
they've
I'm
only
not
went
sure
one
the
year,
particulars
you know.
Of
okay.
that. The
okay.
school could tell you, but I know that it's a program where this has been where they've been. This is where they
I
feel at home.
Saying. Okay.
This is where they're going to do their best.
I like it. I mean,
and
know,
let's so keep them there.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're seeing so many changes in education.
Sure,
I know that
sure.
you know that.
I was going to say, I mean, you know, you got to stay on top of all of them, you know, with substituting and, you know.
Well, and so many different other things and understanding
yeah.
families
That's
and dynamics
yeah,
of families.
Yeah.
And there's so much homeschooling going on today.
Oh,
and homeschooling is, my daughter was having a conversation the other day with somebody about homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, I think homeschooling is wonderful if you can do it. And my daughter is a very bright young lady. And but she will openly admit, she said, I couldn't homeschool my kids. She says, I cannot focus well enough to do that. I'm not a homeschool mom.
Yeah.
Now I have seen moms that are wonderful moms. Matter of fact, I was just at a wedding a couple weeks ago that I did, and all these kids are adults now, and it was a huge family of like 8. And a really neat family, well-rounded. They're all in different in different fields, as professionals, as adults. And all of those kids were homeschooled by their mother, who obviously must have done a very good job. And, you know, so it works for some and not so well for others. But I think that we, you know, we look at everything changing in our society so much, and I really think that, of course I'm going to say this, because I'm a pastor, right?
Yeah.
That sometimes we need to slow down and look at basically basic principles and values and say, does this really meet where I want my kids to be? Is this really where I want to be with my family?
Yeah. And I mean, it's fair that you say that. I mean, that's whether you were a pastor, you know, that's a good... Good ups, you know.
Are we still sitting around the table to eat?
Right,
dinner?
Right.
Or at least around the same room?
Absolutely.
You know, all these things that have us running in so many directions. I'll be honest, I don't feel that it's all that healthy for families or for anyone else. And I know families are moving farther apart. We live in an age when kids grow up and they move away. And I think a lot of that shows that families aren't as close as they used to be. I remember when I was, my wife and I were first married, we got married right out of high school. I mean, bang. We got out, well, she got out in January, the January before we were married. And, well, actually it would have been two Januaries. But I got out that following summer. And so we dated from midsummer to about Christmas time, and or there, a little bit thereafter. And then we decided to get married. We got married in February. It was during the blizzard of 1978, literally. Oh. I mean, it had just ended by a few days, and stuff was... the church we got married in, we didn't know if we were going to be able to get there because the road wasn't plowed open yet.
Wow.
But, you know, with that being said, we had a... I remember one of my first jobs, I was selling used trucks. And the guy that I was working for would buy used... Chemlawn, the chemical lawn company, you know, would buy used from trucks from them all over the country, and I'd have to go out with him, either fly out or drive out or something, and pick them up and bring them back, and he'd re-equip them for farmers. Well, my pay was okay, but not the best, and I remember a job offer came along to work for a company spraying fields and driving one of the big three-wheeled apparatuses with the spray arms, but I was going to have to move. I'd be a little further away from her parents than that would have been. And she had nothing to do with it. He's like, no, I'm not moving this far away from my mom and dad. But that was so common back then.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to move away from mom and dad. Now, a lot of times if kids went to college and that separation time in college would prepare them for a little further move somewhere. Mm-hmm. And, of course, depending on who they married. But today, I mean, if a job offer opens up in some... kids don't think anything about just up and going. And I think a lot of it comes back to that separation from mom and dad. Don't you think that mom and dad should probably make a point to spend time with their kids?
Sure.
And do actually do things with them. Have that one-on-one time.
Sure.
It's so easy for us to get caught up in everything going around us. And as long as the kids are entertained and out of our hair, and they got a full belly and good clothes, we're good to go, right?
Yeah.
But that's not raising kids. That's feeding livestock. I mean, honestly, you know, I was coming from a farm perspective. You know, you go to the barn twice a day, maybe three times, and you make sure everything's comfortable and fed, and then it grows. And that should never be the attitude we take with raising our children. You know, that they should be an active part of our lives, and that's certainly an active part of their life. But, you know, we complain a lot about what society and what's happening with our children, but yet we don't take them to Sunday school. And if they go to Sunday school, we rarely stay for church. You know, we'll send our kids, but we're not going to go. And
we have to get home to watch the Browns, Pastor.
Yeah, and figure that one out. I've never figured that out. Because if...
We can't DVR it. We actually got to watch the...
You actually got to watch...
The debacle.
So you can watch them get stomped in real time. people watching...
Heaven forbid we go to church and miss the Browns. I mean...
But what does that say about my message on Sunday? If my message is so bad that they want to hurry up and get home and watch the Browns get stomped
over your message,
I must be really bad. But
it's
kind of, but it's true. People do. And
I was going to say, during football season, do you see a lot more people come in the evening because they want to watch the, you know, for your evening services? Or?
No, because usually by evening the game just ended.
You're right.
Sick to their stomachs and got to stay home.
I got you. Well, that's right. They have to digest all the food that they ate.
But no, it's true though. They don't. You know, it's everything's important. It's sad to say, but so many things are important that really aren't important.
Right.
And,
that's why I say, of course, I make light of it, but I mean, it's probably, I'm sure it's probably true, and you know.
Well, it is true. There's a sad truth to a lot of what we're talking about. And
I just, the other day you talked about the Browns, and I just remembered you saying that, so I thought I'd put that in there.
Oh boy, there's nothing. Hey, you know what? Let me tell you something about you Browns fans. If people could be as loyal to the church as Browns fans are, Churches would be busting at the seams.
How much more could you accomplish?
Oh, a ton. And you know what? I mean, even you know, people will spend a lot of money on season tickets and spend a lot of money going there. Man, if they would just give that money to the church, we could have room additions and outreach and ministry and feeding the poor. But yeah, they're loyal. Browns fans are unbelievably loyal for some reason. And now, you know, a lot of the conversation basically goes, yeah, I was there 2 years ago when they almost won a game. But anyway, no, it's one of those things where I think that part of it is technology. I think that another part of it is dissatisfaction in our own lives, that we're looking for things to make us feel better. And I think that another thing that really affects it a lot is we don't want to argue. Life's heavy enough for all of us that we don't want to get in a situation where we're being disagreeable or arguing. We don't want to argue with our kids. We certainly don't want to argue with our spouse on how to raise our kids. And in many cases, you know, because of so many blended families, there even can be animosity when we try to talk to a spouse about how maybe their child needs raised. I do believe that in a family, if you're a family, if you're the mom and dad in a home, it doesn't matter whose children they are, you're mom and dad in the home, and you need to come together. And in that coming together is some ground rules. And along with that, there's a lot of areas that can cover. It can cover, what do they watch on TV? How much time do they spend on it? What are things they're not allowed to watch? What kind of controls do we have over the computer and over computer time? You know, how about the phone, the cell phone that we're on all the time? And those are just some of the areas that, you know, mom and dad can come together on. Looking and seeing what your kids are watching. Find some wholesome things to put in there. You know, if you don't want to implement something all at one time, you know, have a particular time to say, you know what, we're going to watch this together. If you go and look, if you search, there's a lot of good family-based movie companies out there that will say, look, these are good ones to watch, so rate them properly. And for family values, it's important that you do that. Mom and dad, when your kids are going to a friend's house, make sure you know what the mom and dad allow them to see and not see. You know, some parents out there really don't care what their kids watch, what they do, what entertains them, what they do on the computer. And your kids are going over there, and they're taking time to and doing the same thing with those kids of something that you might totally not approve of. How many times has a parent come to me and said, Pastor, we got this real problem on our hands. I had no clue my child was involved in this, or I've had no clue that they were doing this on the computer or on whatever they were doing. We have to be proactive and active in watching what they are doing and making sure they're doing the things that they should be. I think that another thing that current technology has done is it's not very conducive to kids doing their homework. And unfortunately, a lot of times when kids get home now, there's no one there to say your homework needs to be done before you do A, B, or C. But the truth is, you can say, show me proof your homework's done before you did A, B, or C. And they say, well, what are we going to do if they don't do it? I mean, it's real easy. Take that electronic device away from them. I'll guarantee you that you are paying the bill and not them. Take it away. Put it in your pocket. When you can do and behave like I expect you to, remember, mom and dad, this is your home. And they are to obey what you tell them.
Well, and they have to remember, it's a privilege, not a right, to have this thing. You know, I mean.
Oh, it truly is. It's a huge privilege to have.
Yeah.
But I don't know, kids today, I think they really believe it's a right in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
I see kids in elementary school carrying phones I can't afford. I'm serious.
Yeah, I know.
And have plans I couldn't afford.
Right.
And the stuff they're able to do on them, and the way they can get around some of the things you don't think they can look at, is unreal.
My nephew's in eighth grade, and he has a friend, and him and himself too. They're on Instagram at eighth grade. They're on Instagram.
Kind of crazy. Eighth grade.
Eighth grade.
Terry, you're showing your age, buddy.
I know.
Now they're doing it in about fifth grade and fourth grade. They're on Instagram.
I was when he told me that, I thought, what kind of? I mean, I'm not saying his life's boring, but what kind of stuff? I mean, at in eighth grade,
I get friend requests from kids that are third, fourth, fifth grade, and I'm like, Mom and Dad, yeah, I'm the pastor,
sure,
and I won't do it.
Uh-huh.
Because it's not healthy.
Right.
What other adults are they friending?
Absolutely.
What other adults are friending them? What are they seeing? You know, who are they spending time with? Are you even looking or checking? You know, look at their history of what they've done. Go back in their phone.
Absolutely.
Don't be afraid to take it away. And, you know, the camera portion of it can cause a huge, huge problem also. But, you know, when I was growing up, if Mom and Dad were going to be late and there was someone there to watch us or whatever, one of the older kids, and we did turn the television on, oh, we might get horribly affected by Flippo, or I'm being sarcastic here, or one of those clowns, pun intended.
Yeah.
But, you know, Flippo or just Flicka or I Dream a Genie, who knows what, you know, any of those things. We were safe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were safe.
Yeah.
These kids aren't safe anymore. And once images and things go in their mind, it's not good. I urge parents to please, please get a handle on the electronics in your home. Yeah. If you make a commitment to not do anything else this year, well, first and foremost, you know I'm going to tell you need to be in church with your kids. That comes first. But beyond that, I mean, get a handle on these electronics your kids are using, because it isn't a good thing. I'm not seeing kids play in the street anymore. Well, in a good way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Playing kickball or going over to the park. You're not seeing it anymore.
Right.
You know, we couldn't wait when I was in junior high school to get home and all the guys get together and go find an empty lot somewhere and have to kill each other playing tackle football with no pads.
Absolutely.
And we did it all the every night.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody usually got pretty bloody, but that was cool because those were battle scars for the next
day.
But now kids are just laying in their room playing video games in the air conditioning and coming down and getting a sandwich and going back to their room. And it isn't healthy. It really isn't. It's affecting them long term. I talked to a businessman yesterday morning, I'd gone over to pick some things up, and he said to me, he says, Pastor, what do you think about this employment today? I said, what do you mean employment? He said, the fact that we can't get anybody. He said, everyone I talk to cannot get or keep employees. He said, you know, the jobs are out there. He said, they come and they work 3 or 4 days and they don't come back. Or they come and they don't work at all but want to be there and put in hours.
Yeah.
Or they come and work hard for 3 days and not come back. And I told him, I said, you know, it's interesting that when I was growing up and when I was a young adult, anytime I'd ever went to look for a job, it was my attitude was, how can I sell myself to this employer? How can I convince him that he has things that I can do?
Sure.
And now the attitude going in is, what are you going to do for me? And I'll let you know if it's good enough. Maybe I'll come to work for you.
Well, it's funny you say that. I was at a restaurant the other day, and I'd ordered my food. And the booth behind me, they were interviewing a girl for a position at this restaurant. And I heard her say, you know, like, I need every other Saturday off. And I just was like, what? You know, of course, restaurants and stuff, that's their big times, is the mm-hmm. weekend. And she, you know, she said that. Her parents were divorced, and she said, and because the guy said, well, why, you know, why do you need every other Saturday off? Oh, she said, I go to Georgia to see my mom, because her mom lives in Georgia. I'm thinking, you're driving or flying every other weekend?
That doesn't make sense.
But I guess my point to this was that. Kind of like you, I would have never dreamed of saying it. You know, I mean, you know, but now it's, you know, I need every other weekend off. I need to be off by, you know, it's, and like you said, it's basically what can you do for me, you know.
And unfortunately, I realize there's employers that aren't good employers out there.
Sure, sure.
But it's caused employers to get a very jaded attitude towards employees. So even if you're a good employee that comes along, there's a proving yourself period because they're still waiting on the other foot to drop. You know what I mean? Okay, you're being a good employee now, but I've been down this road before, and in about 3 weeks, you're going to implode. And, you know, that's kind of the way it is. But everything comes so easy. I think that it just comes, you know, and a lot of it is because of success. I call it false video success. Everybody's a winner.
Well, then she was telling at the end, the guy said, you know, basically, do you have a phone number so I can call you back for another interview or something? And she's like, oh, yeah, just call me or Facebook me. And I'm like, what? Call me or Facebook me. Okay.
Just, kind of crazy.
Yeah, I just, once again, I mean, that's my, I'm old, so.
I'll end this segment today with this thought. I was, I talked to a couple of people and they said, you know, we'll get a hold of somebody and we hadn't heard back from them. And they'll say, well, we were waiting on you to text me. I mean, do you know what it's like to call back and say, hey, you interviewed me last week. I'm just checking on the position you offered. Man. They're waiting on you to text them. I mean, wow, it's kind of crazy, isn't it? But we've gone a little crazy with I think sometimes with the electronics. I just maybe we need to tone them back and parents get a handle on them.
Yeah,
kind of an interesting thing.
Well, I heard that. I couldn't believe it.
Hey Terry, we're going to have to cut it off for now. It looks like. But you know what? I want to thank you so much for the time and the time we spent today. You know, we bring up a lot of these things, different things we talk about, and sometimes it just seems like we're. We're just shooting it back and forth. But it's these are all things that mean something in today's society.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and if you talk about them kind of lightheartedly, but get people to kind of understand, you know, maybe we need to think twice about the time we spend on this and the time we spend on that and where we're not spending our time. Are you home enough with your kids? You know, I know that as a child, my favorite time was when Dad was home. And my dad was, you know, my dad had racehorses, was always at the racetrack. And I remember I'd go to the racetrack with him in the winter, and it was just frigid at that place, taking care of horses. But I'd rather be cold and be with him than not have him on a Saturday. And I don't think kids are any different today. And we need to understand that they truly need us. We're important to them. We're huge. As parents, even if you're an uncle or someone that's a foster parent, it's important that they know that somebody is going to give them that tender, loving care. Because they're not just going to get it. It's not going to happen on the TV, on the internet. None of those things are going to nurture a child. They'll feed them full of information, some good, some bad, but they're not being nurtured.
Right.
And nurturing is so important so that people can grow up with a proper perspective and that perspective of their own self-value and of who they are. And another place that supports that heavily is the Word of God and going to the Bible and seeing what God says about raising children and the time spent with them and why it's important. And I just urge parents to take the time and do it. I know even in that, you know, so many times people start to church and they've never been in church before. And they'll come for a couple weeks and really seem to be enjoying it. They'll tell you they're enjoying it. But then all of a sudden Sunday morning comes up and they're out late Saturday night and they'll miss it Sunday. And they go, well, I'll make it up next Sunday. Well, it was so easy to miss last week. Now, you know, well, he wants to get up early and go get lawn stuff and work on the yard today, so we're doing that. And they jump right back out of the habit and then get right back in the same old habits again. And before you know it, that chance to add to the quality of life of you and your family has slipped by again. And it's just so, there's so many things out there for us to do. you know, we, everything's open on Sunday now that didn't used to be. And people can go anywhere and do anything on a Sunday they do any other day. Other than I find it interesting that professional offices and state offices are not open on Sundays. You ever notice that? You know, because they know people need that time away. They're not going to come into the office on those days. But it doesn't mean that we still don't go out and expect everything else to be open and do it. You know, I love sports, but I think we overdo it. We get carried away with it. You know, sports are not, I'll say this, Terry, that living the life of a Christian is a lifelong opportunity that we have that gets better every day and every year. Well, everything else is temporal. I mean, you could be a great athlete today, but you're not going to be a great athlete 50 years from now. You could be, all these things that we strive to do and be popular at, they only last for a season. Our God's eternal. You know, what we learn and the truths that we learn and the relationships that we build. Do you know I have relationships with people today that I had relationships with 50 years ago? Because our relationship is through the church. And it's wonderful to have those. It's wonderful to fall down and know there's people there to help pick you up. And you're not going to get that. You know, you're either, even in sports, you're either good or you're not. And if you're one of the ones that's not good, no one's even going to like you if they remember who you were.
Right. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just, it's all in timing. What we do with our time, time is so important. And
well, it's the old saying, it's of the essence, basically. You know,
it really is. Time is of the essence,
you know. And how you spend that time or you know, that's huge, especially nowadays.
You know, even when we take our kids out sometime, now they got, you know, and they've had it for years. You go to a place like Chuck E. Cheese's. You give them a bunch of tickets and they go play a bunch of games so they can just get entertained once again.
Right.
You know, how about, I'll show you a picture when we go off air, Terry. I got a picture of my grandson the other day. Took him out to my sister-in-law's pond. And he's 4 years old and he was fishing and he got a fish on the line.
Oh.
And they heard him squealing and screaming clear up at the house. He was so thrilled and that's all he talked about for the next 2 days. So, you know, that's personal time that you spend with kids, and it just means so much to them.
But that's awesome.
And they'll always remember it.
Sure.
That's stuff that builds memories.
Yep.
You know, not one more new thing you bought them or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just, you know, really encourage people to, let's get back to the roots of where we need to be.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking technology. It's great. But I think everything... You know, Bible even tells us that you know, the things that we struggle with typically are the things we do in excess, not necessarily what we do. Hey, listen, it was a good show today, I think. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the conversation. We'll be back next week, and look forward to seeing you then. So God bless all of you guys, and come see us at Community Christian Fellowship, 209 East Water Street. Give me a call, 740-494-2222. And once again, the website is prospectccf.com.
Good night.
You're listening to